WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report, the world's top golfer arrested in Kentucky. ESPN rolling as Louisville police handcuffed Masters champ Scottie Scheffler. They say he used refused officers' orders to stop his car after a shuttle bus hit and killed a pedestrian near the site of the PGA Championship. James Colgan with golf.com.
He attempted to explain who he was and why he was trying to get onto the golf course, but I'm not sure that information quite got to the police.
Scheffler's attorney, Chris Romines.
He's charged with assault second and criminal mischief. The assault second's actually a felony. We'll just let it all play out. That's the extent of what we know. It's moving pretty fast at this time.
And we've just learned a detective's been hospitalized after he was dragged by Scheffler's car. Scheffler back on the course now where he birdied the first hole. CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers are renewing their call for a task force on missing and murdered Black women and girls in Wisconsin. Call comes at the same time that more dismembered remains believed to be Shardae Robinson's were found in Illinois. Representative Sheila Stubbs has tried and failed to move the bill forward for 3 years. Vice President Kamala Harris in Milwaukee Thursday reminding Black voters in particular what the Biden administration is doing to boost jobs in the economy.
We are dropping trillions of dollars on the streets of America right now. To build back up our roads and our bridges, our sidewalks, to invest in a clean energy economy.
Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette poll the economy is their top issue, but only 14% of Black voters in the state think the economy is doing well. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. An Eau Claire man accused of beating his wife to death with a wine bottle has entered a guilty plea to second-degree homicide charges. According to court records, 81-year-old John Berthold was originally charged with first-degree homicide after law enforcement authorities found his 77-year-old wife Diane dead in a bedroom in the home on July 13, 2023. Berthold was found in the same room with a bag over his head when police arrived. He is scheduled for sentencing on the charges on September 18th. The Eau Claire City County Health Department is still looking for the dog who bit a man on Saturday. According to a press release, the health department is looking for both the dog and the owner to ensure that the dog is up to date on their rabies shots. The incident occurred at the Maple Manor Hotel in Eau Claire around 5:30 on Saturday night, and the dog is described as a large brown shepherd-type breed. After biting the man, the dog reportedly ran southeast from the hotel between South Hastings Way and U.S. Highway 53. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
A new beginning for the Phoenix. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Green Bay Phoenix made an unusual hire this week when they named Doug Gottlieb their new head basketball coach. Gottlieb says he'll continue his daily national radio sports talk show while coaching the team. UWGB athletic director Josh Moon.
Again, he's won in everything he's done. You know, building a media career and then balancing that with how much exposure this university's got in the last day, it says a lot. So he's going to have to figure that balance out. So, and then what is he going to stop doing? That's his challenge, but you know, we believe he can figure it out.
Baseball, the Brewers face the Astros in Houston tonight. Pat Murphy asked how Joey Ortiz, nicknamed Tito, is doing at third base.
Yeah, I feel like Tito's taking that step, you know, to being an everyday player. You know, I really do. You know, when he swings at a breaking ball in the dirt, I want to tase him. You know, I don't know if that's legal, but...
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. The chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview Sitten de Mai in Stoughton, a Norwegian fest. Also, Willie Nelson's in Madison. All that and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff. We are coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown sunny Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. A couple of guests going to be joining us. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33, as he always is, to recombobulate, talk about the things happening, especially in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. And then next hour at 11:33, they're coming to a neighborhood near you. Zombie cicadas.
Oh, great.
I know. Dr. Chelsea Cook will join us at 11:33. She's an associate professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Marquette University. So we're going to learn all about crunchy zombie cicadas, apparently.
That wants your brains!
But we're going to start off with a little news about California guy Eric Hovde.
Oh!
He came across my timeline making an appearance on WISN's Upfront and talking about whether or not he will accept the results of the 2024 election. Kelvin, let's play that clip.
Will you accept the results of your election in November?
Yes, I will.
Should the president do the same for his?
I think everybody should. Look, I love how this has been framed recently, that this is just a Republican issue. Let's not forget, in 2016, Hillary Clinton said the election was stolen. Russian interference. It caused a 2.5-year investigation of, what was it, $110 million of claiming that the Russians stole the election. People seem to forget about that. And yet they found no evidence of that. After all of that, was very disruptive to President Trump's presidency, this ongoing investigation. So I think we need to come together. We need to tighten up our voting process so everybody agrees and feels confidence in our voting. Because we can't, you know, I've been talking about it. We can't just be in the red camp and the blue camp, and every time an election goes against you, claims the other one, you know, fraud or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there voting problems in our state? Sure. But,
which state?
You know, let's try to get everybody in agreement. Let's clean up our voting system, our voting rolls as much as possible, so we can move forward and have confidence in the election.
Everyone is never going to agree that the election was fair. They have spent the last decade instilling doubts.
Yeah.
About the secureness of our elections. And now 30% of the American people don't believe our elections are secure. And that's, they did that. Well done.
Good job. I mean, this, so something that, you know, Eric Hovde said that struck me as interesting. Well, first of all, when he said in our state, I don't know what state you mean. Do you mean Wisconsin or California? Because you live in California.
That's a good question.
I don't know about Wisconsin, but the Hillary Clinton aspect of this whole thing. She, as well as many people, claim that Russia influenced our elections through various social media websites. And that way, and that has been proven by Robert Mueller mm-hmm. and the Mueller report.
Mm-hmm. PBS.org, the 448-page Mueller report contains copious details about how Russia interfered in the 2016 presidential election, both by using social media to influence American voters with misinformation and by hacking into the Clinton campaign's computers. Remember that? Russia, mm-hmm. if you're listening,
yeah.
find me 30,000 emails.
Yes.
Russian operatives also connected with WikiLeaks to release the stolen material. So when Bill Barr came out, then Attorney General Bill Barr came out and said that the Mueller report completely exonerated Donald Trump and Russia, that was not true.
No, it kept him from being taken to court. It kept him from charges being brought, but it didn't exonerate anything.
No.
And Hillary Clinton was not complaining. She was making a statement, which was backed up by data. And also, if you want to take it back even further, Donald Trump has been sowing the seeds of doubt on campaign elections for a long time. Iowa caucuses, when he originally wanted to run years ago, he always said he would never accept election results because they had to be rigged if he didn't win. So this is not something that Hillary Clinton started. It's not something that the Democrats, it's not a blue or red thing. You're absolutely right. But don't act like we need to be united. Don't act all like, you know, Hugh Grant in the 90s. Well, I'm just a charming fella from Wisconsin. No, this is much deeper and much more nefarious. And stop acting. And the other thing, too, stop saying that everything is fine, but I'm going to accept it. But because you have no proof.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to remind people of. When he talked about what a waste of money those hearings were, can we go back even further, Greg Bach, to the 3.5 years of investigation the Republican House held into Hillary Clinton?
Oh, my gosh.
About her emails, where she testified for 11 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
that which turned up nothing.
Can we also talk about the whole attempted impeachment of Mayorkas and the president and nothing coming from that? And once the light was shown on your absolute cockamamie quote unquote investigation, y'all ran away from it. No one's talking about it anymore because you got nothing.
That's like the Hunter Biden laptop thing.
Yeah, that's part of it too. It's like when Hunter Biden said, yeah, I'll testify in open public testimonies. They said, no.
We don't want that.
We want you in private. Because they knew they had nothing, and now they don't talk about it. And by the way, folks, those hearings cost money. That money is paid for by you. So when Eric Hovde wants to talk about wastes of money, let's not forget to talk about everything that's a waste of money. There are plenty of hearings that are a waste of time.
Absolutely.
And money. So just this, he is trying to pin himself as just such an aw shucks Wisconsin guy.
And so reasonable, right?
Yeah. It's so reasonable.
So reasonable.
Yeah. No, you're not. You are not. You're not from here. You're not Wisconsin. I don't care if you were born here. You don't belong here. As I've said before, take your Kringle and go home.
That's the polite way we blow people off in Wisconsin. We give them a Kringle.
That's a nice parting gift, if you ask me. If you want me to leave your party, I'll take a Kringle and go.
Absolutely. Again, I just go back to the fact that after a decade of trying to sow doubt about the integrity of our elections, now they're coming out with, well, no, we can all agree, you know, that we're going to tighten some things up and then they'll be fair and secure. But we've already, as you mentioned, who is it, Tim Scott, who already said, no, he's not going to lose.
No.
Trump isn't going to lose. And so, yes, I will accept the outcome of the election if he wins,
yes.
is essentially what they're saying.
And if they're so about elections being fair and good and a well-oiled machine, then not a single one of them should have voted for the constitutional amendments in Wisconsin that limited the funding and limited the staffing on elections, which will make them go longer.
Yep.
Sowing doubt,
yep.
calling into question very, very simple processes of counting votes. But because it's not happening fast enough for you now, ballot dumps, missing ballots, crime, illegitimate votes. You're not for fair elections. You're not for the process. You're for what you want to get. And you'll do anything to do that.
Well, again, we could look at Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, who had the opportunity to allow municipalities, especially in Milwaukee, to start counting early.
Yeah.
Which would have sped up the process, which some say they want, and yet, no, Senate never took it up.
Nope.
Nope, that wasn't his job. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, it's not his job to bring those bills to the floor for a vote. Well, that's exactly your job. You're the leader of the Senate, Mr. LeMahieu. So do your... Oh, I'm sorry, you can't do your job. You're a month and a half into a 10-month vacation. By the way, thanks for popping in for a couple of days.
Yeah, right.
Week. But I'm sorry to get in the way of your downtime. I know 7 weeks is really hard work.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Greg, it's a lot.
I mean, he's prepping himself for a life in Congress.
Yeah. And now they're going to put up a bill that essentially we don't need because people who are here illegally already, it's illegal for them to vote in our elections, and yet they're going to write up something else that is already in established law because, as Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, says, they just know fraud is happening, but they can't prove it. Let's listen to that clip.
We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number.
We just inherently know that.
We know a lot are. We know it inherently, but we don't have proof. I'm just going to say really quick, if you just Google Brennan Center for Justice report on voting fraud, you will see that they have been saying for a long time that this is not a problem. It's not such a problem that legislation needs to exist. It can be taken care of in a case-by-case scenario, but it's not something that needs law. Just like in Wisconsin, there was nothing that required, there was nothing out there which made it should have been a requirement to show your ID to vote. But Republicans wanted it and they installed it, even though there was no reason to whatsoever. Now they're doing the same with scary people from out of the country who don't vote anyways.
Why would you put yourself at risk like that?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. And then there is a new article in the New York Times today from Jamel Bowie, who says the threat to democracy will continue even if Donald Trump loses the election. He's already preparing to attack the democratic process all over again. And she's absolutely right. If he does not win, he's going to claim that it was rigged and it was stolen. Same song, same dance. We'll be back in the same place. Hopefully we won't have another attack on the U.S. Capitol if the results don't go the way he wants. And that's also why we want to reinforce how important it is for everyone to vote.
Yes.
In big numbers. We need a big turnout so that the results can't be questioned.
Yeah.
So it doesn't come down to 20,000 votes or even less.
And I will say this too. I lost my train of thought because our internet went down for a moment. But the point is, you can go to myvote.wi.org to register, check on your voting, and see who your representatives are.
Myvote.wi.gov.
.gov, sorry.
.gov. All right. We will be right back. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, Companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Well, Wisconsin, have you had enough yet? Think about it. Senator Tammy Baldwin just keeps doing things on your behalf. Like helping lower the cost of life-saving insulin, bringing home billions for Wisconsin bridges and airports, fighting for schools, childcare, clean water, and affordable health care. And never forget, Senator Tammy Baldwin has lived her entire life right here in Wisconsin. What does she know? So vote for the lake-sitting, axe-throwing California guy in November. He's a self-made millionaire. Just ask his dad. And once he's in Washington, he'll be in Wisconsin even less than he has the last couple decades. You can bank on it.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock. A Calvinator on the board. You can always join the conversation at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're talking about California guy Eric Hovde appearing on Upfront, I believe, on WISN this weekend, talking about, well, sure, he'll accept the outcome of the 2024 election. We just have to tighten up some things, you know. Some questionable things, and then it'll be good, and we should all agree that everything is fine. And again, I maintain, well done, you guys. You've been sowing doubts about the security of our elections for at least a decade, and now 30% will never accept the results unless their guy wins.
Mm-hmm. And that number, by the way, has only been growing.
Yes.
You would think the main number would have been back in 2020, 2021, 22, but it has been growing over the years, because it happens just like Eric Hovde is doing, and how I believe it was Robin Voss did as well, where they just sort of said, well, you know, I'll accept it. It's, I mean, we'll move on. Let's move on from 2020. But there were some things that were wrong. That's how they're doing. That's why the number is growing.
They tagged this caveat on there, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just hoping, as you were saying earlier, if he does lose, and he will scream injustice, which he will do, I'm just hoping by that point some people will just say, you know what, can't do it, just can't. There will be people who will say it, I can't deny that,
right?
But some of those people who are part of the team might just break away and go, I got things to do, and we got to move on, because this is,
we can't keep relitigating what happened 4 years ago.
Exactly.
A couple of texts coming in. Andrew from Maine, they want to speed up through the counting process by letting less folks vote. They certainly don't want more people to vote. Yeah. They would like fewer people to vote. Jake from Madison, important points. Paul Manafort worked with Russians using polling data from Wisconsin to target ads via Facebook and other media in 2016. And the Trump people and the NRA used the same data to target people in Wisconsin. Hey, Eric Hovde, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah. And then Dave from New Berlin says, important to note, Hillary Clinton conceded to Trump the next day. Conservatives forget that part. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can raise doubts, and there were doubts. There was a whole report that came out about it, but Hillary Clinton did concede. Donald Trump has still yet to ever concede, and he never will.
No.
He never will concede.
No.
And
that's why I find it baffling that his MAGA supporters, well, actually, I think the MAGA supporters will perfectly be fine if he gets elected and he never leaves. They'll be perfectly fine.
Oh, my gosh.
If he gets reelected, he will never willingly leave the White House again, ever. Yeah. Why would we think he would?
Well, yeah, I don't. I think he'll find a way either to stay in power forever or a way to hand power over to his children.
To his spawn.
Meanwhile, oh, by the way, speaking of spawn, happy graduation, Barron Trump.
That's today. Right. It's graduation
it's
day.
It's today.
It is today.
It's today.
I'm sure they'll, and I believe he's going to his son's graduation, which is nice.
Donald Trump did ask for a special dispensation to have the day off to go to his son's graduation, but he will be making campaign stop as well.
Yeah, he's having a fundraiser.
For a fundraiser, too, because, why not?
You got to show up for the photo ops, and then before you actually have the lunch and you open up the presents and everything, then you jump on a plane and you go raise money for your campaign.
Yeah.
Another interesting article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Dropboxes, and this really affects a lot of folks, and especially people who live in rural areas. So this article from Alexander Schur, and we'll put this in the show notes, talking to people in Burnside, Wisconsin, which only has about 500 people, and their clerk gets a tiny stipend to be the clerk. So it's not like she has a permanent office. I think her office is her house. And so without a Dropbox, everyone has to come to her house down this rutted road. They're not just hurting Democratic voters. They're hurting all voters by doing this.
Yes.
They are.
Yes. Yes.
I used a Dropbox in 2020. It was next to the library at Washington Park. I felt perfectly safe.
Yeah.
It's not like someone was going to come and pick it up. And it's also not like people bring fake ballots and dump them in there and nothing is double checked and they just accept everything that's in there. There are tons of checks and balances.
Yes.
Tons of checks and balances. Keep Our Republic had a big meeting this week. I believe it was Tuesday night here in Waukesha. Kathy Brunier, longtime Republican. Keep Our Republic has been on our show numerous times.
Yeah.
They hold these seminars so people get a better understanding of how the process actually works and all of the safeguards and double checks that are involved in counting votes.
But no matter what, no matter how many safeguards, no matter how many double votes, no matter double counts, no matter what they do to use whatever small resources they have to ensure the absolute security and safety of the election, there's just some people who will never buy it. And that's the problem is, We're now trying to convince the lowest part of the public, in my opinion, that we're doing exactly what's been done for a long time. And I said that lowest because they're never going to believe us, and their volume only makes the people in charge of the elections work harder, which I don't think they need to work any harder to ensure a safe election. They've been doing it for a long time.
Yes.
It's been proven over and over again, but for some reason, and now we have individuals who say, I should be able to stand 2 feet next to you while you're voting.
No.
Get out of my face.
Yeah, don't be breathing on me when I'm standing in line.
I really dislike the fact that we are tailoring this entire system to appease these individuals who will never believe us, who will never believe that the elections are fair and safe.
Unless their guy wins.
Unless their guy wins. So like I said, if he loses in 2024... I'm hoping in 2025 there will be some people who will just say, I've had enough of this.
Jack from Merrimack is on the line. We've only got about a minute left. Jack, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Okay, first of all, thanks for taking the call. Hovde's statements about these investigations, very clearly false equivalency, because the Mueller report did find that the Russians interfered with the election.
Yep.
And every investigation that they've done into the Biden family has basically been shown to be, I guess I can't use that word on the air. But anyway.
We appreciate that.
Bunk and baloney. The other thing is, this is a continuing attack on keeping people from looking at evidence and using that to make their decisions.
I appreciate it, Jack. We are right up against the news. Thank you so very much, as always, for calling and for listening. Dan Schaefer will be here when we return to recombobulate. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Federally funded food pantries in Wisconsin have to stop asking for identification in October. State health officials say the aim is to improve access for people who need it most. But some pantry officials wonder how they'll track demographic information or prevent food shortages. Wisconsin Republicans gathering in Appleton this weekend for the state party convention. Democrats are raising a lot more money these days, but state GOP chair Brian Schimming isn't fazed.
Their cost per vote's pretty high. They dropped over $100 million on Ron Johnson and lost. And so I always tell people what's...
Money doesn't tell the whole story?
Money does not tell the whole story at all.
Schimming speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire Health Department is preparing for their annual beach water quality test on Monday. According to a WEAU report, the city monitors 7 local beaches for harmful bacteria and algae once a week, and if any of those beaches show signs of elevated bacteria or algae levels, officials may close the beach while monitoring the water quality daily. Swimming in a body of water with elevated bacteria and algae can cause skin rashes, eye irritation, or a number of other issues. Beach advisories can be found on the city website. The Chippewa County Board of Supervisors has approved a new courthouse security officer position. Officials say the added officer position will offer the courthouse more security after a man was arrested for allegedly threatening to shoot up the courthouse last year. According to Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes, the extra officer is necessary because people there could begin to act violently depending on their circumstances, and the courthouse should also be making other security upgrades. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're thinking about hitting the theaters this weekend for some summer movie magic, there is a lot to choose from. But this weekend, a couple of horror films are front and center. If you're looking for old-fashioned jump scares, check out The Strangers Chapter 1, but be warned, it is not reviewing all that well, which means Chapter 1 could be the final chapter. I Saw the Glow is another horror film opening, which is reviewing well with critics, but only drawing 50% from audiences. If you're looking for laughs, check out the family film If, starring Ryan Reynolds, or check out the more adult comedy Babes, about two friends whose relationship changes when one decides to have a baby after a one-night stand. Babes is pulling excellent reviews to the tune of 97% on RT. And if you feel like sitting in this weekend, there is nothing wrong with that. There's a good historical fiction series called Manhunt about the Lincoln assassination. All 7 episodes are available on Apple TV. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. The chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll visit with State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein about the push to take back the majority thanks to new, fairer maps.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. He joins us every Friday at this time to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, everybody. Happy to be here on Matinee on Air. Happy to recombobulate.
Absolutely.
On a Friday.
Absolutely. Well, we were talking a little bit about Eric Hovde claiming that we should all just agree that elections are fair, Dan, and we need to convince the 30% of people that Republicans have spent the last decade convincing that our elections aren't fair. We need to convince them, and we all need to unite, and then it's all going to be good. And this kind of relates to the opinion piece in the journal Sentinel by two members of the legal arm of the Republican Wisconsin Party, Will, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and the whole central count and how they want their suggestions on how we can really do this so everybody's going to be happy. So what do you think about their suggestions?
Yeah, so the members of the like you said, the legal arm of the Wisconsin Republican Party put out this op-ed earlier this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about, you know, if we're going to restore confidence in elections and pay no mind to those who have spent the last few years destroying confidence in those elections, let's just blame Milwaukee. Let's just make Milwaukee. It's just like, you know, the you know, when in doubt button that Republicans across the state can press whenever they their arguments are failing all over the place. So basically what their argument was saying was that, you know, people lack confidence in the results because Milwaukee will report the results of their absentee ballots when they're done counting them at Central Count. And in the last few elections, obviously, most notably 2020, that those were reported well into the middle of the night because it takes a while to count ballots from the largest city in the state.
Yeah, there's that.
And so their solution, one of the solutions that has been proposed over the past couple of years, and it's actually gotten bipartisan support. It passed with a bipartisan vote in the state assembly, but was held up by Republicans Dan Knodel and Devin Lemieux in the state Senate, which did not allow it to go to the floor for a vote. The Will article, of course, just blames the Senate, not the individual Republican members of the Senate who were blocking them. So this is something, you know, having the option to open absentee ballots or a day early and begin counting them is something that has the support of from Tony Evers, Robin Voss, Ron Johnson, and the Milwaukee Common Council. How often do you see those all in agreement on something?
Is there a rip in the fabric of the universe or something?
But you have everybody in agreement there, and then the Senate Republicans say, no, we're not going to do it. So, okay, so Will says in their op-ed that they say that, oh, you know, Milwaukee should change away from Central Count. That will help. That will help restore confidence in elections. And change to, you know, the way that many other municipalities, including Madison, do, where they have their poll workers count the ballots, count the absentee ballots at the individual polling places that they are, you know, voting from their wards. Like I'm voting from the west side of Milwaukee.
Right.
If I voted absentee, I would mail it in and my polling place in my neighborhood would still be the ones counting them. This is something I actually looked into for a potential article when Senate Republicans blocked this. I was like, well, what would it take? Just out of curiosity, just as a process question, what would it take for Milwaukee to shift away from this? And what I found out is that it would probably take multiple election cycles, maybe up to 5+ years to shift away from Central Count. And it would also require Milwaukee to hire significantly more poll workers instead of having them all working in one place at Central Count, working at all of the different polling places across the hundreds of different polling places across the city of Milwaukee. So you would have to massively increase how much the cost and the spending and getting people organized to be at all of these different polling places. You don't always get poll workers who are going to, you know, want to work in neighborhoods that they might not be as familiar with in the city of Milwaukee. So that's a challenge as well. And there's no guarantee that it would process any faster. You might have, you know, a ward on the northwest side report early that's maybe not as busy, and then a ward on the east side that's very busy and that's going to take a long time or something like that. So there's no guarantee that it would be any faster. But of course, the Republicans from Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty are saying that, yeah, Milwaukee has to change. It's not the Republicans who've been causing all of these problems and sowing distrust in our elections. Let's blame Milwaukee. And I think what that does in turn is ultimately continue to foment this, you know, kind of threat of conspiracy that is always levied at Milwaukee, no matter what happens. And so it's just questioning a process in Milwaukee. And I think a lot of, you know, Republicans who are already doubting the process say, hey, yeah, why is Milwaukee doing this? What's the corruption here? And of course, there's nothing Milwaukee has done wrong at any point in any of this. But of course, it's just the latest example of blame Milwaukee. Don't look inward. Don't hold that mirror up to show that, you know, basically groups like Will have been siding with the election deniers on things like the Zuckerbucks Amendment,
right,
or trying to ban ballot boxes or all of these different things. Oh, we're going to restore trust by crapping all over the things that did nothing wrong. And we were just Republicans just decided they don't trust because Donald Trump lost in 2020. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. He joins us every Friday at this time to recombobulate things. You were mentioning, Dan, that if they would go away from the central counts, that would require hiring more poll workers in order to staff up these places. You know, the easiest solution, let's just have three. Let's just only have three polling places for the biggest city in the state, and then it won't be an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just close everything down. Give it one place that all of Milwaukee can line up.
Yeah.
Let's put it in an obscure location that people that is, it's this type of thing over and over again. It's so frustrating. You know, Milwaukee has withstood so many attacks on its voting over the past 4 years, and longer than that, of course. But I think it's just, you know, we ran a piece at the Recombobulation area a couple of weeks ago from Angela Lang from Block and Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Reverend Greg Lewis from Souls to the Polls in response to some other nefarious activities that Republicans were up to in the 2020 election, trying to mess with the voter outreach of Souls to the Polls. But what the way they characterized it in that piece, it's death by a thousand cuts.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, any one thing. There's no silver bullet that is going to restore trust in the elections, but it is death by a thousand cuts. And by continuing to, you know, blame Milwaukee for all of this and not put the blame where it should be, at the feet of Dan Knodel, who heads the elections committee in the Senate, and at the feet of Devin Lemahue, the Senate majority leader, who has the power to put this on the floor for a vote where it could receive bipartisan support. Somehow it's just blame Milwaukee. The same tired playbook that they run out for everything.
Well, you can go back to Tommy Thompson for that. Let's stick it to Milwaukee. I mean, I remember that with it very, very clearly when he said that. So yeah, it's, you know, let's cast aspersions on the largest city in the state that tends to vote heavily Democratic, because that might, there must be something wrong there. And what they did with the Souls to the Polls was really snaky.
Really, really
awful.
For
people who don't know, can you just recap that quickly?
Yeah, so a report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel revealed some leaked texts from a guy named Andrew Iverson directing a campaign operative to quote-unquote wreak havoc on the group Souls to the Polls, which is a nonpartisan voter outreach organization that just helps people. It helps people get to the polls. Their most popular program is a ride to the polls. And so on election day, if, you know, people with disabilities or people who might have otherwise difficulty getting to their polling place, the Souls to the Polls will come by and pick them up and drive them to the polls and drive them home. And it's a great program. And so what this GOP operative was directed to do by Andrew Iverson was to wreak havoc and flood the phone lines and also to create all sorts of chaos for this group who would otherwise, you know, just be bringing people to vote. And it's pretty awful. And now that same person, Andrew Iverson, was just promoted to be the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Of course. So you just continue to it's another, yet another example of failing up in the Republican Party.
Well, of course he's going to get promoted, Dan. I mean, please. And I just like to reiterate this as well, that after the 2020 election and Robin Voss and all these Republicans won their elections, Donald Trump did not. They weren't screaming about, we have to redo the whole thing, because if this ballot is bad and there was cheating on this ballot on which my name appears, then I should have to run again because it was rigged. Is that not logical?
At the very least, they need to be recounted, those ballots.
To me, that is just, it's ludicrous. Yeah. It's just ludicrous that you can be on the same ticket and you won your election and your guy did not. And yet that means there was cheating, but my being elected is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly mm-hmm. fine.
And all of these issues with ballot boxes, with Zuckerbucks, with, you know, central count, none of these were issues before the 2020 election. I think that is also especially telling on this. The Republicans were encouraging people to vote in ballot boxes before the 2020 election. They were, you know, accepting grants from, you know, these nonprofit democracy organizations to help administer elections before the 2020 election. There are dozens of municipalities across the state that use central count in the same way that Milwaukee does. Only Milwaukee is being targeted by this ask from Will. It's like the confirmation bias of it all is so baked in, because it creates these circular logic problems, and what it really comes back to is that that Donald Trump lost in 2020.
He did.
And they can't deal with that.
Yeah, he actually did lose. Yes, he lost by about 20,000 votes.
And on top of that, too, you mentioned Zuckerbucks. This is going to add even more dirt to the process in fall, because with the constitutional amendments, which state, you know, can't take outside grant money, or as they called it, Zuckerbucks, which was just a wonderfully GOP spin on it. And as well as only election officials can take care of the ballots or work at the poll. Like, they haven't defined what those things are. So now there's going to be even more confusion, less resources, and it's going to be harder. And then they're going to point at Milwaukee and Madison and say, see, they're doing it wrong.
And that's, again, mm-hmm. why we all need to vote, and we all need to talk to our friends and family members and make sure that they're going to vote. I would like to see such a massive turnout so that it's going to be 50,000 votes. If it's in the hundreds or even in the low thousands, we're going to be right back where we were.
Yeah.
So get out and vote. Make sure you're registered. MyVoteWI.gov. MyVoteWI.gov. All you have to do is type in your address. That will bring up all your elected officials. It will actually show you your ballot that's going to be coming up. It's a very, very useful tool. MyVote.WI.gov. We're going to continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Open. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Depeer and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you'd like to call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We are recombobulating, as we always do, with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Let's talk about Dems protecting Governor Evers' vetoes this week, because that was also a big story. I think you're muted.
Oh.
There you go.
Better now?
You're back.
There you are.
Okay, I'm back. I've recombobulated. I've discombobulated and then recombobulated into the recombobulation area segment on Matt and Aaron.
There you go.
Anyway, the Assembly Democrats protected the veto for the session, and I think this is a really big deal. Greta Neubauer, the Democratic minority leader, put out a clip on this, celebrating this a couple days ago. But because of our gerrymandered maps, and these are kind of the dying months of the gerrymander in the state legislature, and the state Senate has a supermajority, so they are able to override a veto. But that doesn't really mean anything unless they get a similar veto override in the state assembly. And even though Republicans drew themselves a path to the supermajority in the state assembly, Democrats blocked that by a 2-seat margin in the 2022 elections. That's not an easy margin to maintain, because if you get 2 votes going the other way on any veto override, then they could have, passed the things that they were able to pass in the Senate. And this isn't just a procedural victory. This is, overrides on all sorts of different policy questions, whether it's abortion rights or tax policy or healthcare or all these different things that they might want to override on. They were able to hold firm throughout the session, which I think is a really impressive achievement. Democrats don't have a lot of power in the assembly because of the gerrymander that is going to change next year, whether it's whether the Democrats are able to flip the assembly or not. Having closer margins is going to make it so these veto override type of votes are probably not going to be happening in the foreseeable future, because we will get closer to 50-50 and reflect the actual electorate of the state of Wisconsin. But I think for Neubauer and for the Assembly Dems to hold firm throughout this session with that just 2-seat margin, And I think Republicans in Madison, they often will, kind of schedule things at a moment's notice. Like there's certain legal thresholds they have to meet with, like scheduling a public meeting or a floor session or something like that. But they do often keep Democrats in the dark on when these things are going to happen. So you'll have legislators from, different parts of the state or whatever that will, have to drop everything at a moment's notice and have to come back to Madison for a potential veto override. Or I think they changed the rules so they could even kind of sneak a veto override into an other session. I think that almost came up at one point this year. And so the Assembly Dems have gone to great lengths to protect the governor's veto. And I think that should really be commended. It's not just a procedural victory. It's maybe the most important thing that the minority party could be doing during this last 2 year session, and really blocked a lot of terrible legislation from getting overrided, from getting, you know, parts of the governor's budget that could have been overridden with these vetoes. You know, the state Senate kind of had a show vote earlier this week saying, hey, we're going to override these vetoes and blah, 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 blah. Well, it didn't really mean anything unless they were able to get two votes. They were only, you know, it was the two vote margin. If they were able to get two people of the 35 in the Democratic Assembly caucus to vote along with Republicans, they could have overridden anything they wanted. And they weren't able to for 2 years. And I think that's a really impressive achievement.
Well, and I think it's an important reminder also on why we do not want a completely Republican supermajority in Madison. Look at what's happening in Tennessee. It's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. I don't think that's good for democracy to have any party have a supermajority in both of their chambers. I don't. I just don't think that's healthy for our country. And going back to some of the legislation that they upheld the vetoes for, Dan, I think it's important to remind people that, you know, the Republicans are screaming now that Governor Evers doesn't want to do anything about PFAS and clean water. The reason he vetoed it, if I understand correctly, is because they allowed the people who are polluting to have no consequences yet again. So it was kind of toothless legislation if you take that part out of it.
There's a lot of legislation that Republicans pass and have passed while Tony Evers is governor that they know he's going to veto, that they are only passing to appease donors or make it a campaign ad or whatever. It's not an actual serious effort. And so I think, you know, some of these is just like a nonsense that they're going to put in a campaign ad. And I think that's, you know, kind of what we saw from Republicans in the state Senate this week. But some of it, like, it really would have made a huge difference. It would have upended Wisconsin politics. Like, basically, when I was covering this 2 years ago, it really came down to two races, and one, Steve Doyle winning in La Crosse County, Democrat Steve Doyle winning kind of a 50-50 race in La Crosse County, and Lori Palmieri winning in Oshkosh. And so, you know, you think about these swingy areas of the state and the fact that Democrats were able to win in La Crosse County and in Oshkosh, were able to prevent Republicans from basically being able to do whatever they wanted for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Every race matters. Every vote matters. Let's never forget that.
I was trying to find the article we referenced earlier this week where it had Howard Markline standing in front of a beautifully made sign, State Senator Howard Markline, beautifully made sign saying all the ways that Tony Evers has failed us. And one of those things was that he didn't want to give us clean drinking water. And every single one of those 3 points, it's a simple little, yeah, because you don't want to hold people accountable. Yeah, this is because you don't want to fund the education. Like, they do such a good job saying he's hamstringing us. He's putting our wrists together. We don't know what to do.
For no reason, just for no reason, because he's mean.
Yeah, because you don't want to protect us, because you want to help your buddies. That's why, Howie. That's right. I called him Howie.
Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11 so we can recombobulate. I highly recommend you subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
News is coming up next when we return, a little Harrison Butker update. And then we have a couple questions on the live stream. There was a Looney Tunes show in the House committee last night. We'll be talking about that and much more. Stay here listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Crude and Dom.
Crude and Rich are doing it live this Friday, a special Barron Trump graduation edition. Call in with your grievances, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.